head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Ross. Today I'm with Matt Jones, Kevin Harnett, Pat Forty. I'm with Anoush Sariot, Kristen Wall, United States Congressman John Yarman, Sarah Bohanter, and
welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am Podcast Network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
And this is Rick Redding, your host on the Rusty Satellite Show, where I every week I interview some of the most interesting people in the Ville. I have not failed you again this time. I have two guests I'm really excited about sharing with you. As did you realize it's a week before Christmas? It really is. It is. I'm recording this on Wednesday, I guess 19th, and Christmas is next Tuesday. Amazingly enough, and I'm going out and playing golf today. We're getting a rare break in the weather. It's going to be in the 50s. So me and my buddy Mark Hebert, John Rees from U of L, are going out to the golf course today and see what happens out there. So that's a lot of great things going on. It's a great time of year. I'm very excited about it. And I'm excited to share with you the story of Amy Wagner. In the second part of the show, Amy owns a retail store called Reflections of You by Amy. It's in Chenoweth Square. It's a really great place. I will mention to you, you'll hear later in the show, but if you go by there and buy a set of these great sheets she's got some absolutely outstanding quality sheets for your bed. If you buy one, she'll donate a set to the healing place. So that's certainly an incentive. I saw her last week. I'd known about Amy for a long time, but I saw her at an event at the Yum Center hosted by another former Rusty guest, Robbie Valentine, and talked to her and decided this was the right time to have her on the show to talk about her experience as a woman entrepreneur in this city. She's she went to school at Auburn, but she's from a little town in Alabama. But moved here some time ago and is now firmly entrenched. She's a great businesswoman in our city. So you'll enjoy my conversation with her coming up in the second part of the show. By the way, is sponsored by Passport Health Plan, my friends at Heiser Health, and Eye Care Institute. And all of those sponsors had a great deal to do with me having a great 2018. I encourage you, this is the time of year to get yourself to pay attention to your body, physical outlook, so you can be healthy. Heiser Health is the place to go for that. Talk to Peggy. She helped change my life, really. I lost a bunch of weight, got in shape. I'm now playing racquetball regularly two times a week and playing better than I think I did, you know, the last time I tried to play 5 years ago. So that's a lot of fun. Certainly, maybe a little part of that is being able to see better. I had LASIK this year, thanks to the Eye Care Institute, and it's a life-changing experience. If you've thought about LASIK, that's the place to go. Dr. John Meyer is the best and most experienced LASIK doctor in the city, and so you should check them out. You can call the Eye Care Institute at 589-1500, not just LASIK, but they do all sorts of anything you can imagine related to your eye. So it's very important to keep your eye health in check. So here is, I was very excited about getting to talk to Jim Higdon because, not just because he's got a new book coming out, about Portland, published by Gil Holland's company. And I'm anxious to see the book. I know it's great, a lot of great history. But a few years ago, Jim wrote the book Cornbread Mafia. And if you haven't read it, you should. There's a lot of things you'll recognize in the book. I know that I recognize some of the people in journalism that are part of this story, but it was a long, exhaustive research project for Jim, and he presented a very readable book. It's one of those books I remember the experience of reading and just wanting to talk to people about it. It was funny. It's about marijuana, and you'll hear about it in our interview, but you know, Jim also has still does some coverage of the marijuana issue for national journalism outlets like Politico and the Washington Post, and he is he knows a lot about that, and he knows a lot about our local government. His father, in fact, is Jimmy Higgs, politician from I guess it's just south of. So anyway, Jim is he's a fascinating guy, fun to talk to. We had a great conversation here in the studio the other day, and I'm going to share that with you right now.
I admit, I used to think people addicted to painkillers just needed to toughen up, until it happened to my daughter. She really needed help. Thanks to Passport, we got it for her. Our doctor and her Passport case manager made sure she got the services and treatment she needed. Together, we got through it.
Find out how you can get Passport at passporthealthplan.com/together. Passport Health Plan. We're in this together.
And today, the Rusty Satellite Show has Jim Higdon in the studio. And Jim, appreciate you coming by.
Hey there. Thanks for having me.
All right. You're an acclaimed author. I know that we're here to talk a little bit about your new book about Portland.
Mm-hmm.
And but first, let me ask, I want to get some of the history. You wrote one of my favorite books, nonfiction books, Cornbread Mafia, mm-hmm. which, man, that really put you on the map.
I guess so, yeah. It really, you know, it took me 6 years to write. Yeah. And then, but it's, you know, it's, I've been on a nonstop book tour really since it happened.
Well, it's very detailed there, and amazing. I mean, we were just talking about how crazy it was, some of the things that happened in that book. It's like you couldn't have written a fiction story like that.
Yeah. There's some real sort of, you know, it felt like at times writing like a nonfiction cartoon. Like there were some, you know, people just, you know, like some full-blown Yosemite Sam type activity.
Right.
Yeah.
And the scope of the thing I was reading this morning, I was going back over it, is, what was it, 29 states?
It depends on when one counts, because okay. It's sort of a rolling prosecution that was happening over a period of time. So the short version that I tell people is that the Cornbread Mafia is the story of 70 Kentucky farmers arrested on 30 farms in 10 states with 200 tons of marijuana between 1985 and 1989.
Wow. That's a succinct way to describe the book. So anyway, so I knew you from that, but you're still covering marijuana for Politico, right?
For Politico magazine, I get about a story a month in there on marijuana policy, cannabis policy. Most recently, I've been writing about hemp and the farm bill, and Mitch McConnell is the unlikely ally and getting this stuff over the finish line. And as we sit here and speak, it's all but done except for, I believe, the president's signature.
That's for hemp.
That's for the cannabis plant with a THC level of below 0.3% by weight.
Okay. And you probably know this better than anybody else. I always tell people that, you know, Kentucky is so backwards, it's going to be, there will be 49 states that approve recreational marijuana before Kentucky.
That may be the case. So Kentucky is unique in that we have 7 border states. I think no other state has as many border states
right.
as we. 4 border states have gone medical marijuana. Illinois in 2019 will likely go recreational full legal, which means Metropolis, Illinois, across the river from Paducah, is going to be the first stop, last stop liquor store for legal weed for every Kentuckian. Sooner or later, people will get the message.
Yeah, sooner or later. Probably later is what I'm guessing. As somebody that deals with it all the time, why do you think it is that Kentucky is the way it is?
Oh, gosh. decades of political corruption that have led to a narrowing of the mind and a lack of imagination, forcing people to believe that the way things have always been done is the way things always should be, completely ignoring our relationship to other states, even border states, but, you know, God forbid we compare ourselves to states further afield.
Yeah. Well, that may be the best answer I've ever heard to that question. So you could add in a governor who depends on religion and all kinds of crazy things to formulate his ideas.
I could restate it with a series of expletives if you'd prefer.
But anyway, we're here to really talk about, I was excited to see that you've written a book about Portland. I've been doing a lot of work down in Portland and uh-huh. talking to people down there. And tell me what the genesis of that was. Why Portland?
So I've known Gil Holland since before we both lived in Louisville. I met him in New York when I was in the process of going to journalism school, where I learned to write nonfiction, where I put together my Cornbread Mafia book proposal. And just so happened, you know, at some point along that way, I bumped into Gil in the Louisville airport, and I said, "What are you doing in my airport?" And he kind of laughed. I realized later that it was, you know, his airport. And so I've known Gil for a long time, and he's been doing all this work in Portland, and he needed a book to like capture what was going on. He, you know, the vision in his mind when we talked about it before was, you know, every neighborhood in Louisville, or many neighborhoods in Louisville, have books written about them. Sure. Germantown and Butchertown come to mind. They're all from the same press. They're mostly glorified picture captions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, lots of photographs with big hefty captions on them. And so that's what I thought I was undertaking, getting involved in the book. But then when I realized with the raw material that I was working with and what the primary source documents looked like, I really felt obligated to put my back into it and, give it the full treatment.
Do you describe it as a history book, or is it more into the current?
We stop at 1900.
Okay.
So in terms of our, so at some point I will complete this and write a complete history, including the 20th century. But this, in terms of our understanding of Portland history, the only time Portland history occurred in my mind before I began writing this book was the flood. Okay. Right. The, you know, the big flood in 37 or I think it's 37.
Yeah, you're right. 37, I'm sure.
So this, so for the sake of understanding Portland history relative to the flood, everything that I've written is antediluvian, right? This is all before the flood.
Okay.
And so I start with geologic time. I give it the James Michener treatment. We start with the late Devonian period, about 340 million years ago, give or take, and go through how the ancient ocean collapsed at the Falls of the Ohio, how it created the Falls of the Ohio, how glaciers pushed the river into its current banks, and that there was a falls there that was 25 feet high, 600 feet wide, and that it was the only navigational interruption between Pittsburgh and New Orleans, so that the natural world, the woodland tribes of the woodland period, and then early settlers, it was a natural congregating place for all those things to happen.
Yeah, I guess I've got this thing I've always had in my mind because I grew up here is that, you know, ships going or boats going down the river, they had to stop in Louisville, unload, take their cargo down to the other side, and reload. Is that in any way accurate?
It's totally accurate.
Okay.
And even as the canal gets built, the canal opens in 1830, the canal is immediately too narrow for modern boats. So this portage business to Portland is a constant thing throughout the 19th century. And what would happen is the boats would unload at the upper wharf at Louisville, and then they would hire a pilot, and the pilot would navigate the boat over the falls, and they would reload that boat. Without the cargo, and they would reload the boat at the lower wharf at Portland.
Wow, okay. And then, like, I've heard all these stories. I want to check the stories I've heard against somebody that's actually looked it up. Evan Williams was the wharfmaster, right? Or is he a part of the book or not?
He's not a part of my Portland book. Was he the portmaster at Louisville or was he the portmaster at Portland?
According to their museum downtown, he was the wharfmaster down at Portland.
Okay, that one escaped me. So you got me there.
Okay. It may have been later than
No. That would have been the time period. Now you've embarrassed me.
I didn't mean to do that. You should go take the Evan Williams tour at the museum there. That's where I get all my knowledge of that. But I guess did you get into the birth of bourbon along that area, or is that
now,
beyond
I have written recently about the birth of bourbon. I wrote a 4,000-word profile of Trey Zoller of Jefferson's Bourbon for Entrepreneur Magazine earlier this year. And he's doing the Jefferson's journey, like in expansion of his Jefferson Ocean where he aged at sea. He put new fill bourbon into barrels and floated it to New Orleans and then ran it by boat to New York.
Wow.
And selling it for $200 for 200 milliliters. And, you know, it has that Jefferson's Ocean effect. It aged incredibly well in 18 months because of the motion of the water on the river. And he determined that the reason why Kentucky bourbon was successful in early America is because of its distance to market. You think proximity to market is an advantage in the business world, but for bourbon, the longer it took the Kentucky bourbon to get to the market, the better it was. And then the Rickhouse aging system that was invented at the Sitz-Weller Distillery in Shively that Bullet is occupying now was the first one to create the warehousing system to replicate the water aging, the river aging process that was shortchanged after the steamboat shortened the time it took to get to New Orleans. So I have written a bit about that, but that work is not in the Portland book. I do talk about the Hope Distillery, which was at 15th in Portland. I believe that was one of the first distilleries, not the first distillery in Louisville. And, you know, that's a name that's been lost to us.
Okay.
So
I haven't heard that one. Let me ask you one more thing about the book before we run out of time. You know, I know a big part of Portland's history is these great characters, these great people. Highlight some of that for me.
Well, I mean, you know, there's a lot of them, and it's hard to get through. And the short version is that in the book, there's a parade of famous people from Daniel Boone, Henry Clay, Lewis and Clark, John James Audubon, Charles Dickens, Mark Twain, Abraham Lincoln, etc. But the one that stands out, the one that is Jim Porter, which I only knew Jim Porter from the Good Times Emporium.
The tavern.
You know, like the baby boomer destination of last resort. And it turns out the Jim Times Good Time Emporium, the Jim Porter Good Times Emporium is a historically accurate name for an establishment of its kind in Louisville. Jim Porter was a Kentucky Giant. He was 7 foot eight, or as he liked to tell people, 6 foot 20 inches. And tonight I have this event at the Filson Club. I think I've sold it out. I think there's like 220 people signed up to attend my talk on. So this is kind of a warm up for that. So thank you for having me. but they have out of their collection a temporary exhibit of Jim Porter's gun, chair, and shoe.
Okay.
And Jim Porter's gun was custom built for him, and according to the description, it's as long as he was tall. That's a big gun. So it's currently, I think, on temporary display at the Filson.
Okay.
So that's really, you know, like what I feel like I've really gotten out of this is I dove back into Louisville history and I found these characters that had been virtually or nearly forgotten, as the title of the book suggests, and bringing them back around it so that we can all, you know, appreciate them again.
Yeah, yeah. I know that I'm sure you've been to the Portland Museum. There's this image of Porter, right? Mm-hmm. The big thing is I guess that's the right size. I didn't measure it, but they told me that this life size representation was how big he really was.
When there's a charcoal drawing of him that's not of his height, but of his face and hands that the Filson has, we've reproduced it in the book, and I believe that will be also on display at the Filson.
Okay. Well, great. Well, this is all fascinating to me. Let's let the audience in. How can we find this book and get it?
So as we sit here now in the middle of December, it's going to... availability is extremely limited. There's going to be 200 copies at the Filson this evening. So look for it in the new year. I believe first week of January. And then I've got the second event for this book will be the 31st of January at Carmichael's.
Okay, very good. So, keep an eye on it. And you mentioned Gil Holland, who I guess his publishing company
Holland Brown Books
is putting it out. And, you know, he's doing great in Portland as well. So, anyway, Jim, it's a pleasure to meet you. Thanks for coming by the studio.
Thanks for having me.
Heiser Health, your complete health source for preventative medicine and optimum health. Visit the experts of medical doctors and nurse practitioners so they can evaluate your overall health and your health as you age. Heiser Health uses the primary preventative technique of nutrition with real food and effective exercise. If you qualify, you may need hormone replacement to optimize your health. Call the experts at Heiser Health, 502-882-4252.
And he lives in the Highlands, I learned. Glad I got to know Jim. And we talked about a project with Gil Holland. I wanted to mention real quickly that as part of my passport work on highlighting stories of the West End, I got to know Jeanette Bahut and Hannah Rose Neuhauser, who are behind the Young Authors Greenhouse, which is a new project in the Anchor Building in Portland. And it's just something worth looking up, the Young Authors Greenhouse. They are opening in February, and it is a place for young people from elementary school to high school to go and learn about writing and how to write. You know, I can't tell you how important that skill is no matter what you're choosing to do with your life. And there's nothing better you can do for your kids, teach them how to write. That project down there, the Young Authors Greenhouse, involves Jim James of My Morning Jacket and acclaimed national author Dave Eggers. You can go to YouTube and look that up. They did a music project with a bunch of musicians in town, including Teddy Abrams and 1200. It's just one of those feel-good stories, and we need a lot of this time, right? It's Christmas. It's Christmas week. I know you have a calendar and you can figure that out. But, you know, every year at Christmas, somewhere, some way, I try to talk about my bias against gift cards. Number one, don't buy me one. Don't buy anybody else one. There's a bunch of evidence. I looked some stats up today. There's like $1.7 billion in gift card balance go unredeemed every year. But more importantly, I would advocate that if you're considering somebody for a gift card, just give them cash. You know, it's like a gift card with no strings attached. Cash is. You're not telling somebody where they have to go spend their money or how much or by what time they have to spend it. It's just sort of lazy. I consider it a lazy way of gift giving. I don't think enough of you to think about what you might like and get you an actual gift. So, you know, here's some money you have to spend at this store. by this day. And this, despite all this stuff I know about gift cards, it is continues to be one of the most popular gifts, one of the things that people say they want the most. Okay, so I know it's a one man deal to fight against it. I know I'm not going to stop it, but anyway, in the jolly time of year of Christmas, go shopping and get a gift or give cash. Cash is the ultimate way to show someone, you know, you're thinking of them and you want to do an act of kind and give a nice Christmas gift. Slip a 20 in a card for somebody. If there's somebody you have to get a gift for and you don't know what to get, that's it. Or I don't know what I'm going to give you. I think there's a blender list, but Paula's always got something in store for me. I still have to do some shopping. And so I'll be doing that in the next few days. Maybe even tonight after play golf. You never know. But I've got several days. I'm very excited because my son Nick is in town. I picked him up from the airport Monday night. He arrived after it took like over 24 hours to travel from Italy, where he lives. He boarded a plane in Rome, got up from his residence in Arezzo, and made it through Chicago, through Frankfurt, and then Chicago, and then to Louisville. So very happy to have Nick in town. He's 28. He's finishing up a degree at a place called Academy dell'Arte in Arezzo, which is a small town in Italy. And so anyway, he's going to be here for several weeks. And, you know, if you're interested in meeting him or seeing him, we're going to be going around and doing some stuff. I think he's here through January 12th. May even make an appearance here on the Rusty Satellite Show this week. He was here in the room when I was talking with Jim Higdon. So my other son, my son Josh is coming in from Colorado. He's only going to be here coming in Christmas Eve, and will be about 4 or 5 days. So a little more brief time home for Josh. And of course, my other son will be here. So we'll all be together, which, you know, at least for the past 4 or 5 years, is the only time we all see each other. And so it's a very happy time to get together with those guys. All right. I want to go through a couple of interesting pieces of news in Louisville that I've noticed in the last few days. You know, this time of year, things catch up with people. You know, people that it seems like you read a lot of stories about people that are trying to get away with stuff, and it finally caught up with them, result disaster. This time I'm speaking about Todd Sharp. If you read news reports, he apparently was skimming money. The reports I read said that they did an audit over at U of L, and Sharp is the sort of most famous dance coach in the country because he had a reality show that I never saw, but there was a reality show featuring him, and he's had several, you know, national championship teams over there at U of L, but apparently he was asking for fees and stuff in cash from people and not reporting the full extent of the cash. According to the audit, some $40,000 unaccounted for, and they think that Sharp flipped it in his pocket, and it caught up to him, so he joins the parade of people leaving the University of Louisville Athletic Department and the University of Louisville in general. Last week we talked, not in a scandalous way, but soccer coach Todd Lola left his job last week. You know, the whole Bobby Petrino, Rick Pitino deal is gone. Jim Ramsey. So a totally new look over the University of Louisville. A lot of changes over there. And I just wonder how many more people are going to leave either voluntarily or involuntarily over there at U of L. You know, the best holdovers, things that people in sports are watching are Jeff Walls, the women's basketball coach, and Dan McDonald, the baseball coach. They're highly paid. They're highly respected. They're very successful. And a lot of people hope they stay, but you never know. In Nulu, if you're watching for new things that are going on, you know, Nulu has been a great area for growth for some time in town. It was announced this week that church across the street from the garage bar, it's sort of catty corner from the garage bar, a giant church building passed by it, and you wonder what's going on in there. Well, the Wyland group has purchased it, and they plan to do a massive entertainment complex in there. Apparently, there's a lot of space, a lot of square footage in there, and it's going to be called the Church Key, and it's going to be a restaurant, a Cajun restaurant. There's eventually going to be a sports bar, a lot of cool development. I mean, it's going to make it an even cooler place to be and to live. I mean, you know, those Main and Clay apartments up the street, that, you know, you're going to be able to walk from there to this thing, and it's going to be developed pretty quickly. The end of next year, Church Key will be a regular place. I don't know if you saw in Business First, they listed Last week, 72 restaurants that closed in 2018, and this week, 115 that opened. So that's a net gain of quite a bit, 28 plus 15. Net gain of 43 restaurants in this town. I know you're probably familiar. Some of my favorites that I visited in 2018, I love Blueberry, the Acai Bar in Nulu. Down in Portland, a couple of new places, the Farm to Fork. I talked to Sherry Hurley on there about that. And the Parkland Barbecue has a mission, a high quality mission to help others. The other night, I went for the first time to Hell or High Water. That is a speakeasy down on Washington Street, and it's fantastic place. I love the atmosphere. I talked a few weeks ago about like the Pine Room on River Road with Augusta Holland. That is a very cool new restaurant. And I got to admit, I haven't been out there, but because my friend Chris Thieneman runs it, and it seems to be going very well out in Valley Station, and it has an unusual name. Chris was on here, and he talked about it. The Fort Knockers Mess Hall in Valley Station is among the new restaurants that opened in 2018 in Louisville. Of course, you have everything associated with the Omni Hotel, a bunch of places to eat in there, and it's a thriving city. I do a lot of driving. It's fun to see where people go, where they drop off, where I drop them off, and a lot of these new places are getting a lot of action. So anyway, worthy note, get out and try a new restaurant. That's fun. One last thing I want to mention really quickly is this whole thing with Governor Bevin. I always love, I think Joe Girth is just getting better as a columnist, and his antagonism of Matt Bevin is palpable. And he wrote this week describing Bevin as inept, arrogant, and weak. And of course, you heard Jim Higdon talk about what Bevin, and he Girth makes a point that he is the weakest the weakest sitting governor that we've had in decades. And it's all because of his arrogance. And, what I tell people when I'm not doing a podcast, he's really just kind of a prick. He's just not a very nice person. And he threw a temper tantrum. The way Jeff Hoover, who's in his own party, described it, he said it's typical Bevin. He didn't get his way, so he threw a temper tantrum. We've chronicled this year when Bevin has opponents that disagree with him, he calls them names. I'm hopeful. We have a governor's race next year. Certainly, Rocky Atkins, who's been on this show, I'm certainly in favor of his campaign. I'm not a big fan of Andy Beshear, but he'd be better than Bevin. I do have some hope. Adam Edlin, there was a story in Insider Louisville last week that Adam Edlin is considering running and having Gil Holland, of all people, as his running mate, which would make a very interesting dynamic and campaign. But this special session that Bevin called, it was just like the most inept thing he could have done. He gave lawmakers about 4 hours notice that he was going to have a special session to address this pension issue. Well, that ticked off the lawmakers because, you need time to plan. A lot of these guys live 4 or 5 hours away. It's not that easy to get to. So they get there, and Bevin doesn't have a proposal of any significance ready and waiting for them. Nothing that could possibly be passed, something that wasn't much different from the bill that, he got knocked down by the Supreme Court of the state. He doesn't have a solution to the pension crisis. I don't know that there is one, but but his proposals aren't flying, and now he's alienated people in his own party, and it's bad for the state. It's bad for the state to have a governor like that, just like it's bad for America to have a president like Trump, who's got his own problems, which I don't really have time or energy to go into right now. But that's where we are as a country with these politicians like Bevin and like Trump. But on to happier things. Things are great here in Louisville, Kentucky. I've had a great year. It really has. It's been an outstanding year for me. I hope it has been for you. And it certainly has been for Amy Wagner, who in February opened a retail store in Channel of the Square in St. Matthews. And she lives in St. Matthews. She's got it all together. And she says the opening of the retail store really transformed her business, which, you hear about it. I first heard about Amy, and was the first person I'd ever heard who had a staging. She, if you're selling your home and you want to make sure it sells quick and for a good price, you pay her to stage. In other words, she'll put furniture in there. She'll make it livable and attractive to buyers, and she's got statistics to back it up. It worked. The staging thing works. So she started with that and does a lot of remodeling now. She's really expanded her business, and as I mentioned, in the holiday season, she's got a heart for the healing place, and if you go over there and buy a set of sheets, you can know that the healing place is a new facility down on 10th Street, and they'll be getting sheets from Amy's place, and they're nice sheets. They're really good. So anyway, I'll let you hear the interview I had with Amy, and I'll be back to close the show right after that.
Today it's Christmas time. I'm in a retail store. That's great. I'm with Amy Wagner. Welcome to the show, Amy.
Thank you. Thanks.
We've been trying to get together for a long time, and finally we did it here Christmas week.
Mm-hmm.
You got big plans for Christmas?
I'm going to spend a lot of time with my kids.
So well, very
thankful
good.
That my son will be home from school and a lot of time with my kids.
I've got three of them, and they're all going to be in town for a little bit.
Nice.
So that's unusual at my place. So you have this incredibly fascinating business, Reflections of You by Amy, right?
Yes.
And we're at your store in Chenoweth Square, and you just moved to this store in the last year. You almost got a year under your belt. How's it been?
Yes, it's been fabulous. I wish I had done it 5 years ago. We for years had an operations office and warehouse in Bluegrass Parkway, which we still have for our staging inventory.
Okay.
But we work out of the studio now here in Chenoweth Square.
Okay. And give me an idea. You know, a lot of people listening probably don't know. You got your company started with staging, and like some people probably don't even know what that is.
Yes.
Still. I'm sure you get that.
Yeah. So home staging is when we go into a home and we do an evaluation, and we help them to know what they can do to maximize their space to get a lot of drive-by traffic online. So we want the photos to be perfect, as well as helping them to know what to go ahead and pre-pack, so that when they sell their house in 30 days, it's halfway done. The goal is to sell the house, not their pretty things. And
okay.
We know from our certification, which is expert psychological staging, what the emotional triggers are that pull a buyer into a property or push them away.
Okay. So it's psychological.
Yes. There's
wow.
a science behind it. There's a science
okay.
even behind the colors that we use
okay.
in the homes.
Well, it works because I saw some statistics up front that say how fast a home that is staged sells compared to ones that's not, right?
Yes. Yes. It's a national statistic too, and Louisville falls right into the same statistics, that a home that is not staged, and it can be an occupied home or a vacant home. We work in both. We have our own furniture and accessories and inventory to stage
okay.
vacant properties too on a month-to-month basis. But those statistics show that a house that has not been staged will sit on the market an average of 5 to 8 months before they even get really solid offers. And then as far as staging, those same homes that were staged sold within 23 to 41 days. And that's what we okay. see happen.
Okay. So it's going to sell faster if you do that. So let me ask you a little bit about your background. I know you're a transplant. You're from Alabama.
Yes.
You're also in a second career because
right.
you went to Auburn. And are you like crazy about all the sports down there and all that?
Yes, I'm a huge Auburn
okay.
fan. Huge.
Okay. I forgive you.
I love it. But I also pull for U of L. I got my master's at U of L. My son
okay.
went to UK, so.
Okay. Well, any school, I have this debate going. Any school you have a stake in, like, you should never pull against the school you went to.
Right.
That's my thing, right?
Right.
Okay. So what got you to Kentucky?
I came here by way of marriage in 1989, so I've
okay.
been here a long time. And like you mentioned, I was an educator for 13 years. I was in the school system and as a teacher, guidance counselor, assistant principal. Once I had my second child coming home, I didn't have a lot left for my kids and mm-hmm. realized, you know, I needed to do something different. So I was actually fortunate enough to be able to be a stay-at-home mom for 7 years
okay.
before I started Reflections of You by Amy in 2008.
And then you got, like, into this entrepreneurial stuff, right? I
yes.
mean, you really seem to jump on owning your own business and running it. I mean, it seems like it grew.
Yes.
Quickly.
Yes. Of course, I started out just myself working out of my home. And then by 2012, I hired my first employee. And then in 2015, we found our space and warehouse because my house could not hold all the furniture anymore.
Well, what is it about the jump to retail that has made the things different for you?
Well, we have all the different layers of the company. We have all the different layers of the company, and as far as we have our staging, which is occupied and vacant, we have our design side, which we basically outgrew the space, the operations office in Bluegrass Parkway. And I just happened to be shopping in Chenoweth Square one day. I live in St. Matthews and saw this space was available, and my friend Gant Hill helped me to secure it.
Okay.
And it's been a very smart move. We also do remodeling. We do renovations. I have my general contractor's license, and this gave us the platform to be able to have, our cabinets, our countertops, tile, lighting, flooring, all of those things that we need for selections when it comes to remodeling. So we've really, really worked to provide a one-stop shop.
Wow. Yeah, it's certainly a big leap from where you started.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And you sell stuff out of here, right?
Yes, we do. Yes, we sell everything off the floor that you see. And, we're connected with all the vendors at market. So there's so much more that's not in here that we can get. So if someone brings a photo in or they have a request, we can very easily find what they're looking for.
Okay. But I guess in terms of where most retail outlets are really dependent on Christmas. You've got a tree in here and stuff, but I mean, this isn't really a Christmas thing.
No, I mean, we have.
I see some stuff I want to get for some people.
Well, good. And I mean, so we have jewelry, we have, Christmas coasters and tea towels and, different things like that. And we carry Kai, which is a really well-known lotion and perfume line that a lot of celebrities have endorsed. It's been all in a lot of magazines, so that's been kind of popular.
Kai, okay. K-A-I,
yes. And then our sheets. So I went to market 7 years ago, and I found these sheets. I didn't have a store then, but I got them for my family, and they are the softest, most durable sheets I've ever had. So 7 years later, mine are just as soft as the day I bought them. They don't knot. They don't wrinkle. We buy them from a company in New York who have allowed me to private label them. And with that being said, I'm able to sell them at a lower price. So they're only $75 to $80 for a set, which is hard to find in Louisville, a nice set of sheets for that price.
Okay. And when I met you, and we should say, we got reacquainted at the Yum Center the other night. We were both in an event, and you were touting a special for Christmas, right?
Yes. And we're probably going to continue it even after Christmas because they can always use sheets. So the Healing Place is near and dear to my heart. I feel like everybody at one time or another has someone that's touched their life and struggled with addiction. And the Healing Place, I learned that they're building a new facility. And so one of the things they need are sheets.
Okay.
And our sheets, like I said, they're so durable, they're commercial grade, and I know that they'll be perfect. So for every set of sheets we sell, we're donating a set to the Healing Place.
Okay. Well, that's very nice. So I tell you, as a transplant from Alabama, you say you moved here a while ago, right? 1989?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You basically can call yourself a native now, almost.
Yes, I've actually lived here longer than I lived in Alabama.
Okay.
So I feel very established here and very fortunate to have so many good friends and family. Of course, I miss my family. I go home to visit, but, you know.
What do you like best about living here?
I love the fact that you have your safe little communities like St. Matthews, where you everybody knows everybody. However, we have the benefits of our downtown, with all the culture. I was a theater major at one point.
Oh, really?
I love, the arts, and I was a dancer. So I love the arts, and Louisville definitely provides that. And then with Churchill Downs, and there's just so much to offer here for entertainment, and it's just a lively community, yet you feel very safe and secure.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I mean, and for you, opening up here, you live in St. Matthews, your business is St. Matthews, but, you know, I'm sure you do work all over town.
We work all over town. We work in southern Indiana. We've gone to Lexington, E-Town, Somerset. You know, we travel. I even work with clients all over the country virtually. I've helped clients in Colorado, Virginia, Florida, of course, Alabama, and then, you know, Ohio.
Okay. And so you have all that going on. I lost my train of thought there. But I guess you this is home now. I mean, this is certainly where you want to stay. And
oh yeah, yeah. I plan to be here and be a great grandmother. not a great grandmother. I mean, a really good grandmother. Let me correct that because I don't have any grandkids
tremendous
yet.
One. Yeah, but I don't have any either. I'm thinking it's not in the near future.
No, mine isn't either, but I want to be here when my kids move back here and have their families. So this is home. And like I said, I've got so many great friends. And
so your kids are what, away?
My son is 25. He's away. He's in law school. And then my daughter is 18. She goes to Ballard. She'll be graduating soon and heading off to college too.
Okay. So I was going to ask you for advice on getting them to move back. I've lost two.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well,
I think I'm gonna lose the other one too.
Oh well, I've already kind of planted the seed. You know, that this is home base. Come back, and then and just, you know, the importance of what I've learned is so much of what you do. It's just like us networking. So much of what you do in life, no matter what your career is, it depends on who you know, as far as people realizing your character, your integrity. Mm-hmm. Knowing that they can depend on you and trust you and the respect, and you know, they've lived here their whole lives. They've got those connections here. So I feel like that is definitely beneficial as far as their career goes in bringing them back here. Even even when they need a doctor or a, you know, what the, you know, those are going to be people that they grew up with that they can depend on, and there's a lot to be said for that.
Sure. I think, you know, people that move away to a town where they don't know anybody, you're starting from scratch, which you did,
which is,
I guess.
What I did. My husband was from here, so, you know, we had that, you know, in our favor. But, you know, for me personally, I had to make my own way. And, you know, people didn't know me growing up. They didn't know whatever I had accomplished or, you know, what I had been in my hometown growing up.
But yeah, and then being from Alabama, so it gets different reactions, I'm sure. All right, Amy. Well, it's been a real pleasure to see your place here.
Thank you.
Get to know you. So thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Merry Christmas.
And that is the end of another episode of the Rusty Satellite Show. Thanks for tuning in. Please tell your friends about the show. We do all kinds of fun stuff. It's, you know, each and every week in 2018, we did a program here. Actually produced T-shirts and stuff for the show this year. If you're interested in getting some Rusty Satellite Show merchandise, let me know, or else I'll be giving them to people I know. that may just happen anyway. But as I think back on 2018, you know, we'll do a little bit more of this next week. But it was really a great year for me and for the Rusty Satellite Show. A little bit of sadness. We lost some people who had been a part of the show, and I want to remember them always. 2018, we lost my friend John Asher of Churchill Downs. We lost Dean Corbett, the wonderful chef, acclaimed chef. Emily McKay, the young woman who ran the diaper ferry. We lost her way too youth. She lost her battle with leukemia. Lena Stopenall, who brought professional soccer to the city, died in a plane crash just recently. So those are some sad moments. We want to always acknowledge them. But next week, we'll have a great show. Looking forward to 2019. Hopefully, some of my offspring will be joining me here in the studio. I talked to Nick, I mentioned he just got in town. He was here during the Jim Higdon interview. And looking forward to spending some time with him over the next 3 weeks, now for a little while. So anyway, that's what the Rusty Satellite Show is all about. Thanks to Passport Health Plan, Eye Care Institute,
and Heiser Health for being a sponsor of the show. It's been a great run so far, and looking forward to a prosperous 2019 with the Rusty Satellite Show. It's something I love to do. I love talking to people. I love introducing you to some of the most interesting people in the Ville. So have a great Christmas. Hope you get what you want and that it's not a gift card. All right. This is Rick Redding for the Rusty Satellite Show. Merry Christmas.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city.